Last week, I asked you to do me a favor, and I asked you to think about somebody that you could invite, and I wondered how that worked for you, if you thought about that through the week, or if you thought of somebody that you could invite. I wanted to think about, for a moment, I wanted to think about your favorite restaurant. Think about someplace that you love this restaurant. I mean, it is great. And I want to ask, what makes it great? First of all, part of it is the food, right? I mean, certainly, part of it is the food. But imagine going to a fine dining restaurant, a gourmet meal, and in which they come and they bring you the meal in a styrofoam clamshell. They said, here, take it with you. So imagine having this dining experience. So it isn't just the food. There's something more about this wonderful experience. One of them is certainly the atmosphere, the experience of being in a nice place. If you've ever been to a very fine restaurant, what kind of designates like a five-star restaurant from a drive-through is the atmosphere. The people that you're with. Maybe you have to dress up. Maybe it's different. It's out of the ordinary. So it's certainly about the experience. The second thing that you might be is the people that you share it with. A fine dining experience is about the food, but also the people that you share it with. Now, you have a great restaurant that you love. You know what will really improve the experience? Introducing it to a friend, seeing a friend or a family member that you invite to come with you and see them light up as well. See them, wow, you're absolutely right. This is fabulous. This is now our favorite restaurant. Here's my point. As God speaks to you and works in your life and says, I've been touched by the music, it's touched me deeply. It was meant to then say, now, you really want to know joy? Get somebody else to come with you. See them light up as well. I got to tell you, this morning when I got ready and came in, a dear friend of mine is here this morning, couple of people that, and so I'm a little nervous, I'm a little on edge, and so I'm going to be, if you find that I'm a little more animated than normal, I'm just trying not to be a goober up here. And in the words of my son that I hear echoing in the back of my mind, good luck with that. So this morning, we're going to be talking about foundations, your foundation and mine, as we kind of get ready for the new year. I had a friend of mine a couple of years ago that bought a new house, and maybe you guys have done that. You've bought a new house recently, and think about that experience. How does that go? Normally, you get ready for a new house, and you go and you start shopping, and you look for things like, is it in the right neighborhood? Does it have the right appearance? Is it what I'm looking for? Does it have the right number of rooms? Are they modern? Of course, how many bathrooms do they have? Will my wife have her own bathroom separate from everybody else? That kind of thing. Does it have everything? Does it have all of the amenities? What's the floor plan? What's it going to look like? And so finally you say, this is the ideal house. It's right where I want it to be, and it's beautiful. It's everything that I've ever wanted to do. And then what do you have to do? Most people then have to go to the bank. Do we have any bankers here? Oh, okay, we have a banker, so we're not going to tell any banker jokes this morning. But here's what bankers will do. Bankers are kind of, in a very good way, they're kind of a little dispassionate. Because what they're not going to do is say, oh, you love that? Well, then we'll just throw some money at you. And we'll allow you to get whatever you want. Bankers want to ask questions. Can you afford it? What are the payment plans? And also, will this house be there in the future? And so what they do is they require you to hire somebody, an inspector, to look for things that you might not have thought to look for things. So my friend was looking at this house, and it was a beautiful house, and they said, this is really what we wanted. It was right next to the river, everything that they wanted. They got a home inspector. The home inspector starts going through, and they say, you know, back here in this back corner, there's a crack here in the foundation. And the friend said, yeah, that's okay, but I mean, it's just like just a little crack. I mean, it's just like this. He said, yeah, I understand that, but it's a symptom of something fundamental. So that everything that you love about the house, you love the framework, you love the painting on the inside, you love everything about the hardwood, all of that, is all tied to the foundation. It all depends on what the shifting foundation. And as I thought about that, I wanted to think about our foundations, about the foundation of the faith. Because one of the things that I've been thinking about is, why is it that sometimes people come to church and we have a great experience, but then eventually, over time, maybe they fade away. And they just don't keep up with that foundation. We don't pay attention to it. We just assume that it's always there. And we never quite do that inspection. And so this morning we're going to talk about foundations. And in Psalm 11, as it shows on the screen, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations aren't secure. It really doesn't matter what's above ground if the foundations are insecure. So this morning I wanted to think about not only what's happening in your life, but the lives of those that you love, those that are surrounding you. And so we're going to talk this morning, and we're going to start a very fundamental place. We're going to start with the idea of the spiritual life. Because here's the thing, most people, when you think about why are people like that you might know, why are they not like in a church today? Or attending not even a Christian experience, but any kind of religious experience. Because they feel that the spiritual life does not impact them significantly throughout the week. We're becoming a much more technocentric people. And what that means is the more you depend on your cell phone or the internet or your iPad or your iPhone, the more your vision goes from here to here. What that means is the more you become dependent on technology, your attention spans narrows and you're more interested in what you're going to do day by day. You don't look at the long term. You don't look at the impact of your life. You don't see the scope of what's happening because you're more interested in the moment. I had a friend of mine that was telling me that she was trying to teach her son how to drive a car. And they said one of the concerns, especially for teens learning how to drive, is they tend to look for the immediate, the thing like right at the berm. Where's the berm? Where's the yellow line? And am I too close to the yellow? And they're looking over here at the immediate without looking at what's coming at them. And they said the way to teach somebody how to really drive is look forward. Look forward and keep the car in your lane, but look forward at what's coming at you. Don't be looking over here, because then you make sudden movements. Friedrich Nietzsche, who was a philosopher, kind of a bit of a whack job, but he was still a philosopher, once said that religion is the opium of the masses. What he meant was that we create for ourselves things that make us happy, and that religion really doesn't impact you in a day-to-day basis. And I want to disagree with that 100%, and I hope that you do too. And I want to try and give you some things that we are going to look at our foundation. And I want to change the game for you a little bit and show that there are things that impact you on a day-to-day basis of which you may not be aware, but they are having an impact. You may not believe in them. You may say, I don't believe in all of that stuff. And it doesn't matter, because it's going to impact you whether you want it to or not. Let's talk a little bit of science, can we? I want to show you something. This is called the visible spectrum, right? This is the amount that you can see. You came in today and you're wearing colors and textures. Some of you, I understand, are colorblind, and so you don't see a whole lot of colors, but you see textures and shapes and shadings. I want you to look at this for a moment. The visible spectrum here is just this very, very tiny band. The very tiny band, we perceive such a small sliver of the total visible spectrum, of the total spectrum of light. You're aware of ultraviolet and infrared. The ultraviolet and the infrared impact you whether you believe in them or not. You can't see them, but they touch your life in a very powerful way. And where do those two forces collide? Where do they come together? They come together in the visible spectrum, everything that you see. But if you look at this, you realize that the amount that you do not see, the amount that you cannot perceive, is so much greater than the amount that you can see. And if you take just that little sliver and say, this is all the reality, reality only consists in what I can see, touch, feel, and sense, you are ignoring a huge block of spectrum. And those spectrums will have a powerful, powerful impact on your life. Whether you want to agree with them or not, it will have an impact on your life. Whether you want to agree that there is a spiritual connection, there is a spiritual life, has no impact on the reality of that life. If you say, well, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it and taste it, if I can't tell you where it is, then it doesn't exist, then you are going to ignore a huge component of your life. And until we understand that that spiritual life exists, we're going to be living in ignorance. Somebody once said that he who provides for this life, but is ignorant or takes no care of the eternal matters, will be wise for a moment, but a fool forever. And so this morning, we want to think about what is happening behind the veil of what you can see. You see, religion, Christianity, is not just about Sunday morning. It's about the veil in which you live. It's about, if you will, it's about the spectrum, the spiritual spectrum in which you see and in which you live. There's only a portion of it you can see right now, but all of it is impacting you and your decisions. And I want to reveal a little bit of that. And then as we go forward, we're going to be talking about the tools to deal with that spectrum. And so this morning, I wanted to start by beginning with kind of an odd passage. It's first Job. And many of you know the story of Job, Job's trouble. Job was one of the richest, most righteous men of his day. And it all collapsed in a moment. And Job was left wondering why. Have you ever done that? Have you ever wondered why things are happening? I don't understand, oh God, why is this occurring? What's going on? Why did I? And we wonder because we feel all of life is condensed into only what we can see and what we can understand. And so as we engage first Job chapter 1, sorry, as we take that on, would you take a moment and let us pray and let God be a part of our time together? Heavenly Father, empty me of me, that I may be filled with you. Empty me of doubt and anxiety, that your Spirit may speak the truth. Help us to understand and embrace the Spirit in which you have called to us and in which you now invite us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading this morning from Job chapter 1, beginning with the 6th verse. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Hang on. There we go. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." But does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread out throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to his face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. here's what we can learn from this little passage. There's so much about this dialogue that occurs between Satan and God that is beyond the time that we have available to us. But what I'm trying to do is, what I want you to see is, there's something happening behind the veil. We are giving an inside look that there's another conversation that is going on for which Job is unaware. And there's something else that we have to understand about that visible spectrum that I showed you before. In that visible spectrum, it's arbitrarily, it's been broken up into two halves. There are the ultraviolet, the infrared, and the moment at which they collide, the point at which they find collision, is what we can see. And so what I wanted to share with you is, there's a couple of things I want you to understand. This life in which you live, in which you breathe and have your being, is a battleground. There are forces that are playing out in your life and in your activities and in your circumstances. They're playing out for your heart and mind, your choices, your career, your family, your relationships are all part of a battleground in which these two forces are playing out and are trying to win your heart and mind. The world, then, is an occupied territory. C.S. Lewis, who was an apologist in the early 30s and 40s and has in many ways shaped my kind of theology, once said that we then, as Christians, are living in occupied territory. We then are the resistance movement. We then are a power, we are then a force for Jesus Christ. We are then part of an army that is infiltrating this world with the good news, with light. Jesus said to those that were following him, "You are going to be salt and light. You are going to be my ambassadors. You are going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. You are going to go in my stead into this battleground and share the truth that I have given to you." As a result of this war that is waging in our world, we then have to choose sides. You can't go through a war and say, "I was kind of oblivious to it. I really didn't care who won." Every battle, every force that is coming requires that we make a choice. And so for us to understand the spiritual dimension in which we live and move, not just that what happens here Sunday morning, but what happens throughout your week, there's a couple of things that I want us to get from this passage of Job. The first thing I think we need to do is, we have to understand, well, let me back up for a moment. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms." How many of you know somebody in your life or somebody else that is having a struggle? Maybe it's a struggle of time. Maybe they're struggling in a relationship. Maybe they're struggling with fear about the future. Maybe it's with a career move, or maybe it's part of their family. Maybe they're struggling financially, medically. Paul here is saying your struggle is not against the government. It's not against the social circumstances. It's not even against your company. It's against the choices. It's against the heavenly realms. There is a force that is working in the back of your mind. Maybe you're struggling with your self-esteem. Maybe you're struggling with your identity. Maybe you're struggling with just getting older. Whatever it is, there's something that is in the back of your mind whispering into your ear about who you are and about who God is calling you to be. So if you know anybody that is struggling, Paul here is saying it's because there are forces that are playing out in the background of which we're only just a sliver aware of what's going on, the impact that they have. So on a day-to-day basis, the choices that you make are having a profound impact as these forces play out in this battleground that is called your soul and your mind. So as we move forward, there's a couple of things I want us to be aware of. The first thing is we have to start with a sense of spiritual humility. And basically what I mean by that is, we have to be aware that there is more going on here than what we can be aware of. There is more that is happening in your life and in your day-to-day decisions than what you can possibly see. There is more going on. We need to understand the spiritual world is infinitely larger than what we are in our time frame can perceive. In 1 John, he writes, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." We have to agree that we don't know everything. We have to understand we can't control everything. We have to believe that we need more than what we have. The Spirit reminds us that there is more to us than just what we can control. Let me see if I can give it to you in another example. How many of you have ever got the flu? Have you ever had the flu? And I mean the kind of flu where you're just laid out. You don't want to get out of bed. You just, your head is stopped up. You feel pressure. You just can't think. You are just miserable. If you've ever had that kind of sickness, then you realize it affects not just your body, your physical body, but it starts to affect your emotions. If you've ever had to care for somebody that's had the flu, they're grumpy, they're miserable, they're short, because they want to get better, but it's affecting their emotions. What affects the body affects the emotions as well. What affects the emotions affects the spirit. After a while, you feel so miserable, you get down, you get depressed, you just lay in bed, you're just miserable. Because all of these are tied together. We have to understand that what affects one affects it all. We have to realize that there is a spirit within us that is playing out at a different level. We cannot control everything, but all of these forces are playing out in our own lives. As we become more technocentric, that spiritual world will get condensed. We think we can control everything. We believe that technology will be able to solve all of our problems. And as a result, we're going to spin our wheels because that's not the domain that is playing out in your life. If you're struggling or you know somebody that has a struggle, it's because there's pressure and there's forces that are working in your life right now, whether you want them to or not. The second thing that is important and is critical is we have to realize we need to apply protection. How many of you have ever gone to the beach during the summer, and you get there and you go onto the beach for the first time and you feel the warmth of the sun and it's wonderful and you say, this is great. You've come from a cold weather climate to a warm and you just want to bask in the sun. And oftentimes, and it's usually the mothers that say to you, make sure you put on. Why? Because they know, even though you can't say that you can't see it, they know it has an impact. They know that if you don't protect yourself in a couple of hours, you're going to turn into a lobster and you're going to start having blisters and you are going to be miserable like you've never been miserable before. They recognize that there are forces that are playing on you, even though you may enjoy it. This is great. I'm out here. I'm enjoying the sun. I don't want to slow down and put sunscreen on. But they know that if you don't, in a couple of hours, it's going to play out in your life. I'm also learning that there is now there is a health benefit to some ultraviolet light. You need some of it in your life. But you also need some infrared. I've heard that infrared will also help to heal some of your tendons. It has benefit. But even though you can't see it, it's impacting your life. You see, without God's help in your life, you're going to turn into a manipulator and you will be manipulated by the system because there are forces that are going to be acting upon you whether you choose to accept them or not. If you went to the beach and you said, I am a visual atheist. I don't believe in the ultraviolet and I don't believe in the infrared. It doesn't matter. It's going to impact your life as well, whether you choose to do it or not. And you are going to suffer the consequences of your ignorance. As a result, you are going to suffer from a disease of want. You're going to be pursuant of want of power, wants of pleasure and prestige. Do you know people that are pursuing those wants in their life? They need more to feel worthy. They need more affirmation for people to help them feel good about themselves because they have fallen victim to the disease of want. Now, what would you say about a mother or a father that let their kids go out and play on a beautiful sunny day and said, oh, of course I know that there's ultraviolet light. Of course I know that they're gonna get sunburned, but they deserve to make a choice for themselves. They're free beings. I let them choose for themselves what they wanna do. We call that irresponsible. You know the dangers that are out there. As Christians, you know what the dangers are. You know that there are forces of good and evil. The evil one does not just want to irritate you, but wants to consume you. And the way that they can do that is by deceiving you into believing that they don't exist. If you don't believe that they exist, then that's the whole battle right there. What we do is we come together because we recognize we need God's protection. We need that day-to-day, week-to-week reality check that says, there are forces that are playing out in my job and in my family and in my own back of my mind self-worth that are playing out, that are telling me things that I don't believe are true. We need God's protection. As a result, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. You have to know what you're fighting against. God has given you the weapons that you need so that you can fight against these battles. But if you don't know to have them or you don't know how to use them, they are of absolutely no value to you. You're going to suffer needlessly. You're going to get sunburned. Your soul is going to be scorched and your soul is going to be devoured because you didn't know that this was a battleground. Imagine how ignorant it would be to have a soldier with all of the equipment that they have, with the rifle and the guns and the ammunition, going into battle but has no clue how to use any of them and just walks right into the battlefield. And then they wonder, why did I get shot? Where did you think you were? This is the battleground in which you live and in which you exist. Anything else is just ignorance. We need God's protection because when we receive God's protection, we also receive spiritual courage. See, God didn't say, I want you to hunker down and there are forces out there that you can't deal with and you just have to try and survive day to day and moment by moment. God wants you to be what? More than conquerors in Christ. In 1 John, he writes, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Most of us kind of go, how often are we afraid in our workplaces to use the J word, the Jesus word? Because people will look at us and they'll think we're funny, right? But the scriptures tell us that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will just have to bow in heaven and on earth and below the earth. If you're dealing with spiritual forces that are beyond your control, God said, I'm going to give you the weapon that will take it all away. The J word. At the name of Jesus. There's a story about a little boy who, maybe in your day, when you went to church camp or you went to camp and you sat around a campfire and they told ghost stories. Did you ever do that? And they were kind of, the intent was to kind of scare you with what was happening in another realm. Well, the little boy, he goes, but not in telling, they didn't tell ghost stories, they told demon stories about how the demons were going to come get you and how the demons were coming to devour. And so the little boy came home, and he came home to his father, who was a pastor. And so the pastor couldn't actually say, well, there really aren't demons. Don't, let's not pay any attention to that. He couldn't wipe it under the rug. And his little boy, he was frightened because it was nighttime. And usually that's when all of our brains start working overtime. And he's laying in his bed and he's kind of thinking, Dad, can you pray that I would be delivered from these demons when they come? And his dad's going, oh, what am I going to say? And he said, no, son, I'm not going to pray that you be delivered. I want to pray that you become dangerous. I want you to be in such a state that whenever you are afraid, whenever you are uncertain, that you don't just kind of cower back, but that you step forward. That at the name of Jesus, I can be all things. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. I can do anything. And as a result, those demons, when they heard the name of Jesus, when Jesus was with his disciples, they recognized and they said, we know who you are. Have you come to destroy us already? You are carrying the name of Jesus wherever you go. There is nothing that God is not ready to do for you if you just use the weapons that you've got. There's a story in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sends out 72 to go out and bear witness. And when they go out, they're a little frightened because they've never done this before. But when they go out, they come back rejoicing. And in Luke chapter 10, it says, the 72 returned with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. If you're concerned about the foundation of your own faith journey, if you're concerned about the future, what's happening behind the scenes, it's going to impact you whether you want it to or not. And yet you have the tools available to you. All you have to do is say, in Jesus' name, I claim it. In Jesus' name, I protect it. In Jesus' name, I care for it. Many of us are walking around without any protection, just hoping for the best, hoping that we can go from shade tree to shade tree and avoid any kind of danger. We try to avoid any kind of involvement. We try to do anything that is so that it's not abnormal at all. And yet, God wants you to be bold and dangerous and vocal. He wants you to be his army. He wants you to move forward. When your foundations are solid and you recognize that it is your spiritual world that we're living in, that we are not just physical beings having a spiritual experience, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, your whole dynamic changes, and you recognize that what you're going to do tomorrow morning is about a spiritual moment. It's about experiencing the spiritual world in where you work and where you live. In the coming weeks, we're going to take a look at how that spirit world impacts you. This isn't just about Christianity and non-Christianity. It's really, at this point, it's just about the spirit that you have that is playing out in your life. In the coming weeks, we're going to take a look at some of those tools that God has given to you. He said, put on the full armor. What is that armor? What is it that you have available to you to make a real lasting difference? I hope that you'll come back. I hope that you'll invite somebody, because the people that you know are living in the same experience that you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come today seeking your protection, seeking your favor. We thank you, O God, that we are stronger than we realize. We pray, O God, for the protection of those that need us. We pray, O God, for the boldness of this church. We pray for the witness that we have. And we ask, O God, that you use us. Father, don't let us hide away. Help us step into the fight and help us to do all that we can for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.